Hey, I'm Sayer, and I love Marvel.
And I'm Kaylee, and I love someone who loves Marvel. In season one, we watched through all of the Infinity Saga in release order.
For Kaylee's first time.
And Sayer's 85th.
Now for season two, we're watching phase four, both of us with fresh eyes.
Sayer as a super fan.
And Kaylee as a newer fan.
No, cut that.
Welcome to MCU.
And me! Okay, we got it, we got it, we got it, we got it. In this episode, we're talking about 2021's What If, episodes 7, 8, and 9. And this is your spoiler warning. Episode 7, What If Thor Were an Only Child?
And your first words were,
"No,
that's a terrible what if."
But then we got Loki anyway.
Yeah, we got a different brand of Loki. Okay, well, the summary is, what if Odin didn't take little baby Loki and Thor grew up as an only child and he was super entitled and a big ol' himbo and...
Himbo? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a he-bimbo.
Oh boy, I've never heard that before.
Yep. And he came to Earth to party and... Oh, then it was just a fight between he and Captain Marvel and then his mom was coming and he had to clean up his room before she got there.
I'm just going to say this what if was not as far from the timeline that we know already. Like, Thor is already a himbo and kind of needs to get his act together. He does it quicker in the Infinity Saga, mm-hmm. I guess. Maybe he's just a bit more of a partier in this what if.
Yeah, he didn't seem that different.
No.
I would have liked to see if he was, like, really entitled and snarky.
Yeah, because he was just, kind of a bit goofy, and he got away with a lot of stuff. Just kind of that, like, privilege of being a strong, good-looking mother's boy.
Yeah. A better what-if would almost have been if he had zero sense of humor. Like, having Loki growing up with, maybe, Loki constantly pranking him, gave Thor a sense of humor about things. But what if Loki didn't exist? Thor is now an incredibly serious person.
Mm.
I wanted to see a wildly different version of Thor, and that was kind of just a little bit more party-ish.
Yeah. So Loki is blue and tall if he doesn't come to Asgard? Is that because there's less oxygen on Jotunheim?
Well, that also bothered me too, because Loki technically is just a small frost giant. That's what Odin says. He found Laufey's child. Small for a frost giant. So Loki just grew up to be a normal Asgardian size because he was an abnormally small frost giant. It just...
But why is he not blue in Asgard?
Because he...
He got more sunlight?
Touched Odin and Odin turned him to pale? I don't know. But but then when Loki touches the casket, the blue frost thingamajig, he does turn blue in the film. But I didn't know why he was giant. Because he shouldn't be. He should still be regular Loki size.
Maybe the diet on Jotunheim.
Maybe. Something in the water.
Yeah, something in
the
water.
And I didn't know why they were still calling each other brothers. Like, yeah, like bros. But I don't buy that Loki growing up with Laufey as a father would come to still love Thor. Like, Loki would be instilled with the hatred that Laufey has for Asgardians. Unless, well, okay, this makes a little sense. Loki grew up with Thor in our timeline and grew up to hate Thor, essentially.
Right.
So, in a timeline where he doesn't grow up with Thor, does he grow up to love Thor? Okay, maybe I see it a little bit.
So maybe every time Thor and his merry band of miscreants go to Jotunheim, Loki's like, these guys are cool, actually.
Yeah,
they're
maybe.
They're causing all this mischief. Maybe I kind of want to play with them.
My dad, Laufey, is just so negative all the time about Asgardians, but they're great.
They love to party, and I want to party too. And maybe they have an influence on him.
Huh. Episode 7 was not one of my favorites. It kind of fell into the same category as the Guardians of the Galaxy one, where it was just fan service and nonsense.
Yeah, we saw Howard the Duck show up.
Yeah, it was just jokes and kind of, oh, did you catch that? Oh, here's a nod to this. Remember this?
Jeff Goldblum said 3 lines.
Yeah, they got him for it, though. I mean, he has a show on Disney Plus, so I guess he's around. They have all these actors on retainer. The thing that bothered me most about the episode is that it felt like the entire thing was just a reason to have Thor and Captain Marvel fight, which is something a lot of fans have wanted to see because they are the two most powerful, ostensibly, Avengers that we've had. And it feels like they started with the idea, let's make Captain Marvel and Thor fight, and then wrote a story around that of how to get there.
Hmm.
And it was just so silly.
Yeah, I think it should be called, what if there were no consequences ever for Thor? But then I didn't think the jokes were very funny.
No, me neither.
Or they're already aged. And this episode obviously ended with what looked like Vision appearing in Ultron getup
mm-hmm.
as a cliffhanger. And because we waited until every episode was out, we got to go right to the next episode. But I can imagine if you had to wait a week between that and the next episode, it would be a nice cliffhanger.
Yeah, but also really jarring. Like, whoa, that's a crazy cliffhanger to have at the end of a really throwaway episode.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like somebody on the writing team went, yeah, I can write a Thor episode like Taika Waititi did.
Maybe they thought before we get intense and serious in the last two episodes, we need a light, fluffy episode.
Sure.
I liked the rock guitar that came into the score when Thor and Captain Marvel were fighting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was referencing a particular score that we've heard before, but...
It was influencing some of the Mark Mothersbaugh music that we got in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that was nice. A nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I reach a saturation point with action, as we've talked about before. So,
yeah.
And when they're animated, they can do literally anything. And I don't know who's more powerful or whose like blast of light energy is more powerful than someone's hammer versus like, I just don't understand what people's powers are. And maybe that's like, I have like a limited, I'm a Capricorn. I'm like, I like practicality. So sometimes I am a little bit like, I'm tired of just kind of light beams and energy. And Doctor Strange seems to be able to like fight off anything and just by kind of using his middle finger and pointer finger as little, I don't know, spellcasters. I don't know. So with episode 7, 8, and 9, I was kind of like, okay, let's wrap this up because I reached that point where I'm like, nothing makes sense anymore.
Yeah, the stakes were incredibly low because everybody's powers were just, let's throw anything at the wall, see what happens. And no, they're not dead. Oh, they can take so many punches. I want to see stakes. So like when Captain Marvel and Thor are punching each other across continents,
mm-hmm.
I'm going, I'm so out. I am done with this fight.
Was that supposed to be cheeky though?
I think so. But at the same time, because they were throwing around such power in other parts of the episode, I couldn't tell if they were going for something intentionally over the top.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, this fell into the same category as the Guardians of the Galaxy episode because they had so many crazy rules to play with that they just let run wild.
Yeah.
Episode 8.
So what if Ultron had won?
Mm-hmm. Ultron does put his consciousness into the Vision body and he launches nukes and he destroys Earth. And then Thanos comes and he just cuts Thanos in half real quick.
That was easy.
Wish somebody thought of that in Infinity War.
But they didn't have all the stones.
No, but Vision just used his Mind Stone and cut him in half.
Oh, yeah.
Thanos had all the other stones.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't they just do that in Infinity War? This is what I'm talking about of the thing you were talking about of power in discrepancy of like, what?
Yeah.
He could do that the whole time?
The whole time. Yeah, so clearly Vision is what we've all been waiting for. He's the Deus Ex Machina. I mean, he really is a machina.
Yeah. That's very good. Oh boy. Well, so Vision just cuts Thanos in half and gets all the Infinity Stones and realizes, well, there's a whole universe to conquer and destroy. And then he realizes, oh, the Watcher is watching me. There's a whole multiverse of things to destroy. That's basically what the episode was.
Okay. So we're still stuck on these stones.
Yes. Yes.
And I could put those to bed.
I agree. It was a nice nod in Loki that we got when the TVA had a bunch of stones sitting around as paperweights. I was like, yes, that's the perfect denouement, aperitif to the Infinity Stones in the MCU.
Yeah.
Now I don't need to see them anymore, except for the Eye of Agamotto, because that's obviously the time stone that will have many implications down the line for Doctor Strange. But I'm with you. I didn't need another Infinity Saga.
Yes, it feels like we're still hung up on this timeline in which somebody gets all the stones, and then there's a big war over who gets them and what they mean and what they each do. And if we're looking at what if literally anything, why are we circling back to that? I mean, it could have been a nice nod if, you know, Vision takes out Thanos in that moment, and then it's like, done, and all the stones fall, and for some reason, nobody knows that they're worth anything. Thanos was the only one who was on a mission to get them all. It feels like we can't let it die.
Well, and the problem is they are such a good representation of striving for ultimate power in the universe. So I did actually really buy that if Ultron, as Vision, was presented with the rest of the Infinity Stones, I totally buy that he would take them. He'd be like, oh, so much power.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can do my plan to the unlimited degree.
And his plan seemed to be to destroy everything in the universe. Yeah, all the planets.
To stop war. And his reasoning was, well, beings will always create war, so beings can't exist.
So I'm going, so do these stones just corrupt whoever gets them all? Like, say an Avenger got them all? Say S.H.I.E.L.D. got them all? You know, is it just like whoever gets them?
Yeah, I think so. Because what do you do when you have unlimited power? Yeah, well, I think it is going to corrupt people. And at the end, Killmonger took them all and he was going, look what we can do with this power. And then there was a struggle there. So yes, I think that's what they represent. Power and responsibility, of course. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. But now we can put those to bed. I don't need to see any more stories about the Infinity Stones.
Mm-hmm. The moment that stood out for me in episode 8, though, was when Ultron stops and can hear and see the Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, because the Watcher has seemed like this divine, all-knowing, omniscient being that oversees all. I just said the same thing. I defined omniscient a few times there for everybody. I really liked Natasha fighting with the S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought that was a cool thing, because she and Cap kind of had a buddy relationship, but she doesn't have any like superpowers. So to have this vibranium S.H.I.E.L.D. at her disposal was kind of neat.
Oh, it was really cool, though, that they went down the route of seeking out Arnim Zola.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah, okay. I really buy that that is a plausible route to take to bring down the AI of Ultron. And then the symmetry of, on a cliff's edge, Natasha having to let go of Clint as he fell off to sacrifice himself. That was a neat little nod.
Yeah, it was interesting, like the kind of spiritual discussion of the Watcher and their ability to see all but not intervene.
Mm-hmm.
That the Watcher also seems conflicted about not intervening, but then in a way has to when Ultron penetrates into the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Do I understand what a multiverse is? Is it just that there are many universes stacked on top of each other? Because I can't even comprehend a universe.
Yeah, so we are in a universe.
And presumably.
Sure, maybe we're in a simulation. But that simulation...
No, I meant we could be in a multiverse.
If the multiverse exists, then we are in it. Because what it implies is that there are infinite different variations of existence happening. That's what a multiverse is.
But is it kind of like taking place, say, in different space, quote unquote?
Yeah. Or
so it's not happening stacked.
Or layered on top of itself.
I don't understand any of this.
It could be happening at the same time. That's what schizophrenia could be. There's a theory that schizophrenia could be people are actually seeing different dimensions on top of ours.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not like a multiverse over here of 10, multiverse over there of 13.
Multiverse encompasses all universes?
Yes.
So it's called a multiverse? And it could be an infinite number of verses?
Yes. If there is a multiverse, it encompasses everything. Or it doesn't exist and there's only one universe.
Maybe our limited brains can't comprehend of what actually exists.
Sure, that's absolutely possible, yeah.
So the concept of infinite anything is very terrifying to me. I just have to stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if the route that we're going down with the Marvel films and content will totally freak me out, because I like to entertain ideas, but infinity like means nothing to me. Like, I think that our brains actually aren't able to hold or comprehend what that means.
Yeah, absolutely.
So us very limited human time and space bound carbon-based beings in our limited technological environment that we inhabit, trying to make sense of this is a very interesting journey for me.
Mm.
But you know what I'm saying is that we're time bound. These concepts, we can only understand them with our limited experience and knowledge right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to cut everything I just said? Let them listen to me wax philosophical.
Sure.
Wax on, wax off. So the natural order of things is something that I believe Ultron said, and I believe the Watcher said as well.
Hmm.
I feel like Thanos said something like that too, or like restoring order to the universe or something like that.
Well, I think that's an argument that somebody could use to justify their grand aspirations for completely altering the way that reality currently is.
Mm-hmm. And we meet up with Doctor Strange in the little prism world.
Yeah, I was so happy we got back to that story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did end on a very, oh boy, that's a bleak ending for him. And what does that even mean? Like, where does he exist now? But in order to save himself, the Watcher escaped from Ultron into that little pocket dimension.
And then we kind of go right into episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Watcher didn't keep his oath? So is the oath only to observe and not to interfere?
Yeah.
Well, he's called the Watcher.
Yeah.
He's not called the Interferer.
It's in the job title.
Mm-hmm.
The Interferer?
Yeah. So Gamora's from Sakaar? We blipped right over that. What's that about?
That's what the Watcher said. Yeah, there's a whole episode that we missed there. Well, what if Gamora killed Thanos? Because that's what the Watcher said. And why is Tony with her on Nidavellir making an Infinity Gauntlet? Or melting one... No, they're melting down the Infinity Gauntlet because they killed Thanos. And so the Watcher goes around collecting all of these different heroes from these different realities. And it was kind of like an alternate Avengers.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, haven't we seen this before where they assemble a ragtag group and they have to learn how to work together?
And then they do the exact same scene where Ultron's in the middle and they're all bashing at him with all of their powers.
Yep, just they're like all different ones who weren't there, except for Natasha, I guess.
Again, there is neat symmetry that they have, but also we've seen that exact story.
Mm-hmm. I liked the shot when the stone was on the ground and we were just looking at the stone and different people's feet were kind of pacing around it, like the fighting was happening around it. I thought that was an interesting point of view.
Yeah.
Where the stone itself is kind of inert.
Yeah, it's not doing anything. All these people are fighting over this incredible power that's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And it needs somebody to wield it to be powerful.
And then who says separate stones from a body? I wrote that down.
Right. That's when Doctor Strange realized we were never meant to win to get the stones. We're here to stop them from being used.
Like, because they will continue existing. They just, yeah. If they're all together, someone will wield this power irresponsibly,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And then Eric goes and does just that.
Well, and then Eric and Arnim Zola Vision are tug-of-warring them between them. And so then Doctor Strange pocket dimensions them and then takes them to his pocket dimension. And again, I love that wrap-up for his story. He ruined his reality, and he's going to live with those consequences. So now he is the Watcher of his own little scene here where he has to protect every other reality by stopping these two. I think Doctor Strange is my favorite character throughout this whole thing.
And he kind of ties it together.
Yeah.
And then they each have to go back to the moment that they were plucked from.
Yes. Except he puts Natasha into a reality where they didn't have a Natasha. Which kind of begs the question, is that what the MCU is going to do with Scarlett Johansson in our MCU?
They gave her money.
They did.
So is she coming back?
Maybe. I think the option is always open.
Hmm. Overall thoughts of this series?
I was hoping that this might actually lead to something a little more open-ended in that it was going to change something. Didn't have to be huge, but the whole story wrapped up very neatly and the Watcher went back to being the Watcher. I was hoping that by the end of this, we would realize, oh, we thought this was just a bunch of little vignettes and whoa, this holds so many consequences, or maybe just a couple consequences, but consequences for moving forward. I thought that they were going to pull that rug out from underneath us by saying, you thought it was just a fun little romp, but actually, wait till you see the next films. This all ties in. So I was hoping that there would be something there, but at the same time, I wouldn't want it to be too earth-shattering because it was just an animated series. I don't really know what I wanted out of this fully. Maybe it gave me kind of exactly what I needed. It was fun. I don't need a season two. But my biggest takeaway is I'm really looking forward to seeing how Doctor Strange grows in the rest of the MCU. This has got me really jazzed on his character again. What about you? Your biggest takeaway?
So I have just spent not even a year in this world. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I wonder if I had spent the last decade and change absorbed in this, if this TV series would be much more meaningful to me or something. Because I kind of feel like I'm playing catch up.
Yeah, you're in a really tough position because you haven't had 10 years with this stuff. It's only been under a year.
Yeah. It was entertaining. I really liked the animation style as well. And nice to kind of turn the camera on some characters that haven't gotten a lot of time and attention, namely Peggy, who I really enjoy. There was room for some more kind of like attention on the female protagonists as well, which was nice. But I can't help but feel, of course, Disney and Marvel are huge corporations and run the world, basically. Sometimes it feels like content is made just to keep our eyeballs watching.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing. That's not why you want to make art, right? Like just to keep people so addicted that they have to keep their Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want it to be for something, not just, well, we might as well.
And I want the content to just be so good that you can't help but want to see it. So yeah, I feel like it was nice. It was entertaining, but it was kind of a side story that wasn't really necessary for me in my enjoyment of these films. Whereas I couldn't wait to watch the next Loki. Like, I just thought that series, I was like, there's no way we're canceling Disney Plus. Have to see what happens next. That series was awesome to me. And just how it blew everything up.
Yes. The implications were huge for moving forward.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it's like, here's a really big stab in the dark. Let's see what this does. And that's exciting. So this, my biggest takeaway is nice to turn the spotlight on some different characters.
Yeah. But I'm ready for a movie now, you know?
Well, good thing we're seeing Eternals in just over a day.
I can't wait.
It would mean so much to us if you could leave us a rating and a review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at MCU and Me Podcast. So tell your friends. Thanks.